Shabbat Shalom, saints, and welcome to our Sabbath Holy Convocation service. Each week, we gather with the expectation that Jehovah is going to meet us here. In fact, Jehovah commanded us to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. We know, according to Leviticus 23, the Sabbath is a feast of Jehovah. So I want you to grab something to write with, something to write on, and prepare yourself to receive inspirational teachings, quotes you can use, and of course, the truth that set men free. So stay tuned for our Sabbath Holy Convocation service. Shalom, I'm Arthur Bailey, Chancellor of the accredited Hebrew Roots University. Hebrew Roots University is the world's first and only accredited theological university that approaches scripture from a messianic Hebrew Roots perspective. At Hebrew Roots University, you can earn an accredited associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degree in several disciplines. I'm ecstatic to announce our Laborers Grant available to all HRU students. Our new Laborers Grant enables us to eliminate the $50 application fee and cover 50% of tuition costs across all degree programs, removing additional financial barriers and making our tuition even more affordable to all students. There are no prerequisites or pre-qualifications required. Simply apply, and the grant would be automatically applied to your account. All students that apply today will be given a Laborers Grant, which will cover 50% off all tuition costs and will be automatically awarded for each term the student is enrolled. You can apply now. If you have any questions at any time during the application process, please do not hesitate to reach out to our admissions team using the Have Questions section at the bottom of our website. The implementation of our new Laborers Grant will provide access to as many people as possible from all nations worldwide who are desirous of higher education in ministry and becoming laborers in the end-time harvest of the kingdom. Here at Hebrew Roots University, we are dedicated to our mission to teach the true gospel of the kingdom, the gospel Yeshua taught, to people of all nations, and to eradicate biblical illiteracy worldwide. We look forward to walking with you on this exciting journey, so check us out now at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. That's HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Don't wait. Take advantage of our new Laborers Grant, so apply now. HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Thank you. Shalom. Shalom, saints. The last thing Yeshua said to his disciples before he ascended was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This command is known as the Great Commission. Our ministries have taken this commission very seriously and developed a discipleship training program that will change the way discipleship has been done up to now. Most discipleship training programs are denominational in their approach and is doing exactly what the Pharisees and Sadducees did in the days of Yeshua. Yeshua said, "You search the world over to find one proselyte, and you make them twice the son of hell as they were before you found them." The vision of Arthur Bailey Ministries and House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua, the Messiah. In fulfillment of the Great Commission, we've developed Discipleship101.tv. Discipleship101.tv is a two-year seminary-level discipleship training program that takes a messianic Hebrew Roots approach to the scriptures. Now that we've completed this program, we are making it available to people around the world for free. We now have the opportunity to get it into every federal and state prison library and libraries around the nation. We also have the potential for getting this program accredited in universities and Bible colleges around the country. Now here's where we need your help. We need you to stand with us at the $1,500 level to help us get these workbooks printed and DVDs printed and duplicated in order to get them placed in prison libraries around the nation. For your help, we want to bless you with all of the workbooks and DVDs for each class as a thank you for helping us get this valuable information out. For your partnership, you will get all 8 workbooks and all of the DVDs by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you in advance for helping us get this valuable, extensive, messianic Hebrews discipleship training program to the nations of the world. By doing so, we're doing exactly what Yeshua said to do when he commissioned us to make disciples of the nation. Join us in this most important mission of making disciples of the nation by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. You can partner with us at this level by sending your partnership check or money order to House of Israel. If you would like to pledge your partnership with us and make payments, please do so on our website at www.arthurbaileyministries.com. Just let us know you would like to make a pledge and make payments. Please help us get this material published so it can be placed in prison libraries and libraries around the nation. Partner with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you.
House of Israel International Services are held weekly at 3601 Rose Lake Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217, 11 a.m. Saturday mornings and 7 p.m. Thursday evenings, Eastern Time. This live broadcast is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Your financial support is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Motivating. Inspiring, challenging, encouraging, deepening, strengthening, and enhancing your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to House of Israel International's live worship service.
Greetings, saints, and Shabbat Shalom. Hey, welcome to House of Israel, and may you be blessed for joining us on this Jehovah's Feast Day. Amen. Today's message is titled, Prayer and the Mystery of Messiah. We'll be continuing our verse-by-verse study in the Epistle to the Colossians. We'll be in chapter 4, covering verses 1 through 18. And believe it or not, this chapter concludes our verse-by-verse study of Paul's letter to those saints at Colossae. Paul directs the believers to include thanksgiving in their prayers and to advance the message of Messiah. So stay tuned for this exciting, again, verse-by-verse study. At the end of today's teaching, you'll be given an opportunity to give of your tithes and of your offerings as Father has blessed you. Also, if you go to arthurbaileyministries.com and log into our chat session, you'll be able to ask questions give testimony, and request prayer, which we'll be covering at the end of today's teaching. While you're there, we encourage you to subscribe on our website to get notifications of upcoming teachings and events. And we're also on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, X, Twitter, you name it. Like, subscribe, but definitely please share. At this time, I'd like to invite Minister LaShawn Goggins to come and lead us in opening prayer.
Shabbat Shalom, saints. Shabbat Shalom, saints. This is the day Jehovah has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let us pray and give him praise. Truly, it is an honor and a privilege to go before the mighty King today. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, Father, for your presence. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are always with us. You are always there. You are always watching. You are always looking. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for being who you are, the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and the author and finish of our faith. We thank you, Father, for the very breath that we breathe. We thank you for our life, health, and our strength. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for just being who you are. We thank you for this Sabbath day, this feast, this gathering. We thank you for this celebration. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you so much, Heavenly Father. We pray, Father, that you will bless this service today, that you will have your way, that you will open up our hearts, our minds, and our spirit to receive the word today. We ask you, Father, that we just hear you, Father, that the word is not distorted once it is spoken. We ask you, Heavenly Father, that you give us the zeal, the drive, Father, to be obedient. We ask you, Heavenly Father, that your righteousness will be in our hearts. We ask you that you will forgive us of any sins and transgressions that we have committed. We ask you, Father, that you will renew our mind in the right spirit, Heavenly Father. We ask you, Heavenly Father, that you will have your way in us, that you would shape us and mold us to what you called us to be from the beginning of time. We ask you, Father, that we will all have a mind to step up and receive and accept the calling that you have on our lives. We pray, Father, that you continue to raise up laborers so that our families, our cities, states, and nations will be saved. We ask you, Heavenly Father, that you would touch Apostle as he bring forth the word today. We are excited about this word, and we're just looking for blessings. We are looking, Father, for this powerful word to transform our lives. We ask you, Father, that you would strengthen him, that you would keep him standing before you, honest, true in his word and how he speaks. I ask you, Father, that you will bless his family, his wife, his children, and all that's attached to him. We ask you to bless his home. Let him lack for nothing, Father. Let us all not lack for anything in our homes. We ask you to bless us on our jobs, our businesses, Father. So we're looking for prosperity, Father. We're looking for your promises, and we're standing on your promises always. In the mighty name of Yeshua the Messiah, we thank you so much, Father, for all things. In the mighty name of Yeshua the Messiah, we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Sister LaShawn. Well, brethren, to bring us the message, prayer and the mystery of Messiah, Apostle Arthur Bailey.
All right. Shabbat Shalom, saints. Greetings to all of you. Welcome to our Sabbath service. Those of you who are here, those of you who are joining us online, we certainly appreciate you joining in with us. Before I get into our Sabbath message today, I'm going to appeal for our Thursday service. For those of you who are not joining with us on Thursday, I know some of you live far away, and that's one thing, but for those of you who are local, and Thursdays we are here, and as they say, it's better to be here than to be online. Amen. So we look forward to having you with us on Thursdays as we continue our verse-by-verse studies. What I'm trying to do is I want to get commentaries in the Hebrew roots from Genesis to Revelation.
And I know that that's a huge undertaking. We've been doing it now for some time. We are almost done with the New Testament books. We will be finishing Colossians today. And then week after next, we will be looking at Philemon. And the reason why we're looking at Philemon is because Philemon lived in Colossae. And so we're just going to transition to Philemon, but we'll be staying in Colossae because, again, Philemon lived in Colossae. And then we're going to look at Titus, and from there we'll go to Revelation. And again, what I'm wanting to do is I want to get all of the writings of the Bible into a Hebrew roots commentary, because right now what's out there is basically Christian. In order for me to do that, that means that we're going to be continuing, and on Thursdays, now once we get through Revelation, we may have to bring the Old Testament into the into our Sabbath service. And it's important too, because as I think about it, and as I was preparing this particular message, which is the conclusion of Colossians, there is some recapping that's going to take place, and come to realize that Colossians is actually really, it's been a very challenging book. It's been a very challenging letter, if you would, to study, and personally for me. And some of that I want to bring out today. The end of this letter, Paul is going to identify individuals that has never written a letter in the New Testament, except for one. And the thing that is so inspiring for me is these are common, everyday, ordinary folks just like us. I wanted to even title that portion, "They Are Us," in the sense that when it comes down to the kingdom, the work of the kingdom, though people tune in and they see Sean's handsome face and they see certain individuals who come and pray before the service and then myself, what this particular portion of Paul is going to help us realize, those of us who don't know it yet, is that no person alone can do this job. Nobody by themselves can do this job. It takes all of us. Every single one of us, whether we're in the forefront or whether we're behind the scenes, but no one person, I don't care how big a ministry get or how small a ministry, unless, of course, you know, you are the congregation of one. And so this letter, I'm excited to share with you the conclusion of it. I encourage you to take really good notes for those of you who desire. We're going to, as always, make our PowerPoints available for you to study later if you choose to. But they will be available, and all you have to do is simply ask for them. Amen? So, we're going to be looking at prayer and the mystery of Messiah. That's the message title today, Prayer and the Mystery of Messiah. There's 18 verses in this particular chapter of Colossians, and we're going to cover all of them. Actually, we're going to go back into chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and our conclusion here in chapter 4. As it has been mentioned, after the teaching, you'll be given an opportunity to ask questions, to give, and if you have prayer requests, to receive prayer. Our mission statement, restoring the Hebrew roots to the Messianic and Jewish faith. And today, this Messiah, we're going to be touching on this at the end of the teaching. So there's a slight change in messianic. Do you know that messianics are followers of Messiah? Now, I said something again. I said it in our Pentecostal service last Pentecost service we had. I wanted to say last year, but it's actually the new year hasn't come yet, so it's still this year. And sometimes it's, you know, when you're dealing with Hebrew months versus Gregorian months, there's the tendency, I mess with my wife sometimes, because when sunset comes, I'll tell her we are in, you know, tomorrow. So like last night, you know, not that I did it last night, but the way I would do it is like tonight at sunset, we are into Sunday. Now, some would say it's Saturday night, right? But at sunset, the new day begins. So we're at a new day. And just keeping that aligned in our head, sometimes it's not the easiest thing, because understand that we live in two worlds. We live in this world, which is governed by the Gregorian calendar, but we also are kingdom citizens, which is governed by the calendar of heaven. And so we have to always be mindful that there is these two things going on, just as there is these two people living in this body. And we have to make sure that one is always suppressed while the other is living his best life. Amen. Amen. So we're restoring the Hebrew roots to the Messiah, the Messianic, and the Jewish faiths. The vision of House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua the Messiah. Our declaration for Jehovah's blessings. Excuse me just for a moment. Can I get some good batteries, please? Somebody took my batteries. But anyway, our declaration for Jehovah's blessings. I declare this is my season for peace, power, promises, and prosperity. I declare the peace of Jehovah in my life and in my body. I declare the power of Jehovah to manifest fully in my life. I declare the promises of Jehovah fulfilled in my life. I declare the prosperity of Jehovah to permeate every area of my life. And I declare I will walk in obedience to Jehovah every day of my life. Father in heaven, we are so grateful to be in this place with our brethren and in your company once again. We welcome your presence in the midst of us and pray that you will have your way. Move among us, have your way among us, Father, in impregnate us, if you would, with your spirit, with your presence. Cause us to be one with you today. And then give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see, help us to comprehend the things that you will reveal to us, the things that will be unveiled, the revelation, and then show us how to incorporate these revelations in our lives and to walk them out daily. We honor you today. We bless you. We ask that you forgive us of every sin, of every transgression, of every act of unrighteousness, of every deed, everything, every thought, everything that has been done, Father, that has been displeasing to you. Father, just cleanse it from us right now. Cause our minds to be renewed and restored so that we can focus on the things that you will have us to focus on and live the kind of life that you will have us to live. We pray your blessings upon us, not only us in this place, but the places and spaces where people will be joined with us, those who are joined with us now, those who will join with us later, even those that will watch this broadcast at a later date. So we want your will to be done. We want your kingdom to come. We want all that is pleasing to you to manifest in us, in Yeshua's name. Amen. So in the overview that we did of Colossians, this particular chapter concludes Paul's letter by moving from the responsibilities of the masters to their slaves, to directing the Colossian and Laodicean believers to target their prayers with thanksgiving, so that doors would be continually open to proclaim the mystery of Messiah. Believers are instructed to live wisely toward outsiders, to speak with grace, to remain devoted in prayer, and recognize that the work of Yehovah is accomplished through a network of faithful servants and faithful partnerships in advancing the message of Messiah. And so, as I shared earlier, and you'll see later, that in order for anyone, especially those in the Bible, even Messiah himself, when you think about it, that Messiah, one of the first things he did when he started his ministry is he called individuals to follow him. These were disciples. And from the beginning, this was Father's intent, even in the garden. The man and the woman was supposed to raise godly children. But their mistake was, like so many, is that they decided to think for themselves. And that's a problem, because in the kingdom, we have to live according to that which has been instructed. You know, I was reflecting back as I was on my way here today, because I'm looking at all of the evil that is happening around us and people who are getting caught up in it. And Father was reminding me this week and again this morning that the heart of man, the thoughts of man, the imagination of man is evil continuously from his youth. And then I was reflecting back. I mean, you know, there are people out there who have a real issue with the law and with the commandments, when the fact of the matter is that Father gave these laws, he gave these instructions, he gave these commandments so that man will know how to live. Man don't know how to live. They don't. We don't. And the only way we will know how to live, because I know when I look in, when I think about what my thoughts, I've had some pretty bad thoughts. You know, if you could go to prison for thinking about killing somebody, I'd be doing life now, probably triple life. Put me, as they say, throw me in jail and throw away the key. Because my mind, my thoughts, and I can see the thoughts and the imagination of men in the world, the Bible says their thoughts are evil continuously. And so it don't matter. You talk about being saved, and we're going to look at some of that in this particular chapter, to where, you know, you could be saved today. You could walk out salvation today and decide tomorrow to backslide. And it happens. It happens. So we got to make sure that our mind is not only renewed, but we're walking in the right mind. That's what the Almighty has given us. He has been given us a spirit of fear. He's given us power, love, and what? A sound mind. But we got to operate in that soundness of mind, because, you know, some of us, we have a tendency to go back and forth. Why? Because there's two minds in here. Paul closes his letter by recognizing several individuals instrumental in the work of the kingdom. And then he writes something at the end of Colossians that we'll touch on that is not done in any of Paul's other letters as he wrote to the various churches. So, verse 1, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Could I get those rechargeable batteries? Thank you. Masters and the Master. Believers in Messiah who own slaves. Now, when I wrote this, I couldn't help but reflect back on my ancestry, because I'm the descendant of slaves. And to think about slavery is not something, you know, that I like thinking about. However, I realize that the Almighty permitted it. But there are rules that govern them. And in this opening chapter, chapter 4, verse 1 of Colossians, Paul closes by completing what he started in chapter 3 when he began to talk about slaves obeying your masters. Now, there is the master, and then there are the masters. Now, what he's saying in this particular chapter is that the master is going to have to give an account. The master has to give an account. And what's really interesting, too, is the fact that Abraham, if we go all the way back to the founder of our faith, if you would, in fact, when Father called Abraham out of Mesopotamia, Abraham was a slave owner. But Abraham was a righteous slave owner. In fact, he treated his slave like family. And Father is saying through Paul, as he's writing to the Colossians, obviously there's slavery there, and we're going to look at one of the slaves that ran away from his master named Onesimus. And this is what we're going to look at in Philemon when we finally get to Philemon, because Onesimus was a runaway slave. But in his running away, he ended up running into Paul and got saved. And you know what Paul does? Sends him back. But that's another teaching. Believers in Messiah who own slaves must remember that they too have a master who will hold them accountable of how they treat their servants and their slaves. And I would take it a step further as a slave owner or even as a boss, because whether you know it or not, and this is hard to say for some people, or to some people, the difference between an employee and a slave is that the employee chooses voluntary servitude. Do you know that for the 8 hours you are on your job, you belong to somebody else? You let that. You ain't your own. You can't do what you want to do. You have a job to do. They ain't hiring you to preach the gospel, to share your faith with your coworkers. They give you 2 15-minute breaks if you're fortunate, and a half-hour lunch. Or some people get an hour lunch depending on, you know, your master. But for that time, you're on your job. That time is not your time to spend how you choose to spend, but you have to be doing what you have been hired to do. The difference between a employee and a slave is that a employee gets to go to their own house at the end of the day. You see, a major difference between a employee and a slave is the employee can quit or get fired. You see, So, as an employee, if you are an employer, you are in the same category as a master in the sense of how you treat your employees. Now, I have a membership at a place called BJ's, and I rarely go there, but there's a few items around here that I bring from BJ's, and I was there last week, and this woman said something. It bothered me, but the way she said it, it seemed like it didn't bother her. As I was standing in line, one of the bosses, I guess, was walking behind an employee, and it was obviously there was some conflict, and he had an issue with this person. And so I'm looking at it, and she's looking at it, and then as he turns around and goes back to his office, she says, you know, that's the boss. You know, he's always cussing somebody out. And I'm thinking to myself, you let your boss cuss you out? That's problematic for me. You don't have a right to cuss me. You see, because I have to tell you, you don't have a right to do that. And therefore, you know, it becomes a problem. Bosses shouldn't treat employees like that, especially church-going bosses. But after all, church-going bosses don't mean they saved. And somebody said, just because you live in a garage, that don't make you a car. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Therefore, you have to treat your servants well. And as an employer, you have to treat your employee well. Verse 2, Paul writes to them, says, continue in prayer and then watch in the same with thanksgiving. Now, it saddens me when Christians or believers or people who call themselves believers look at this word thanksgiving and think that Thanksgiving, the holiday, is a biblical holiday because of Thanksgiving. You'd be surprised of how many people out there that think Thanksgiving is in the Bible, and Thanksgiving is in the Bible. But it's not that Thanksgiving. So he says three things here. Continue in prayer, watch, and in the same with thanksgiving. The word prayer here is actually prayer addressed to God. And then there's a place, you know, as Yeshua talks about when you pray, go into your closet, close the door, and that kind of thing. But actually what he's saying is that when your prayers are private, your prayers are private. Now, when you pray, it's private. You're having a conversation with the Almighty. And then he even at one point, because of certain religious people who like to be heard praying long prayers and repetitious prayers, thinking that the more words they use or the more people they got praying for them, the better chance they're going to get a response. That's not what he's saying here. Now, this prayer, he's saying you commune with the Almighty. You talk to the Almighty. It's private. Now, if you want to pray with people, that's your business. Nothing wrong with that. Praying collectively, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But what he's talking about is when you pray, and he's going to make some specific prayer requests, that you are to pray earnestly. The root word here is to offer prayers and to pray. This word watch means to be, give strict attention, to be cautious, to be active in your prayer, be vigilant. Be vigilant in your prayer. Now, every morning, I pray. Every morning. And when it comes down to what I do first, my first thing, my first go-to is to pray. Before I look at my phone, before I talk with anybody, before I have any interaction with anyone, I want my first interaction to be with the Almighty. And I'm vigilant about that. I don't let nothing get in the way of that. Then, giving thanks. Now, this Thanksgiving is because when you pray, you believe that what you ask is going to be given to you. What you ask of the Almighty, you give thanks because you believe that He hears your prayers and He's going to answer your prayers. So you keep praying to Jehovah and you stay focused on your prayer purpose. Always give thanks. Why? Because giving thanks shows you trust that your prayers will be answered. Expressing gratitude beforehand reflects confidence and expectations. As the opening of our services, as we come here, we come, at least I come here, with the expectation that the Almighty is here with me, that He's going to join in with us. Because I don't just want to have conversation. I want Him to bring to pass that which I'm asking of Him, not only for me, but for you as well. This is why I pray, give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. Because you could be in the company of the Almighty and miss Him. Look at the day of Pentecost. All those people there and only 3,000 souls got saved. That's sad. I'm excited for those, but for the other, I mean, it's like, okay, they saw something and attributed to drunkenness. You see, they heard and they attributed what they heard to something evil while something good was happening. It's all about your discernment. It's all about how you see things. When you pray, target your prayers. Be specific. Don't just go through the motion. Be specific when you pray. And here's how, you know, in Luke, I think it's chapter 11, disciples came to Yeshua and said, hey, teach us how to pray. But then they used an example, like John taught his disciples how to pray. And I'm thinking these grown men need to be taught how to pray. What they wanted to do is pray prayers that would be heard. Messiah taught them after this manner, Matthew 6, pray ye. And notice what he says, our Father, which art in heaven. So who are we praying to? You're praying to Father. You ain't praying to Yeshua. He says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us. So now you're asking, give us this day our daily bread. Now you may think that he's simply saying, feed me today. But your bread today may be beyond what you put in your mouth and in your that goes through you. You see. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I like the way he goes after the prayer saying, hey, if you don't forgive others, then how can you expect forgiveness? And this speaks heavily to people who have bitterness, people who have issues in their hearts against other people, and then want Father to hear their prayers. Sometimes our prayers are not answered because we're not in a position for an answered prayer because of the things that we have in our heart toward other people. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And think about this, deliver us from evil. Some of the evil we need to be delivered from is right up here. The thoughts of men are evil continually from his youth, born in sin, born depraved. And I'm going to tell you, that thing will sneak up on you when you least expect it. All it takes is somebody to look at you the wrong way. Targeted prayer. Paul requested specific prayer. And he asked for these things. He says, when you praying, with all praying also for us, that God would do what? Open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Messiah, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now, this is some heavy stuff right here. It's some heavy stuff because here in chapter 4, he is recapping on how he opened this chapter up in the sense of this mystery of Messiah. And this is the thing that I truly, truly want to get for myself. Because what I have been doing is I have been really, really focusing on the way I think, on my thought patterns, on looking at things and seeing things that I don't like and not letting it get to me. And the way you know things get to you is that they done got in you. See, when things get to you, they done already got in you. And if you check yourself, you'll realize that you bothered. Why you bothered? Because something done got in you. And typically, whatever it is that got in you came either through these or through these. Your eyes and your ears. Because you'll see something that bother you or you'll hear something that bother you. And now it's about, do you react or do you properly respond? Now, when I saw that situation in BJ's, it bothered me. My response was I kept it to myself. Now, the old me probably would have said something to that dude. It's like, you don't talk to people like that. Because I'm looking at those people that is being talked to as if you're talking to me like that. And don't be looking at me cross-eyed either. So Paul expressed three prayer requests. One, he expressed that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Now, I'm pointing these things out because in the end, I'm going to challenge you in the sense that the prayer that he's praying is prayers that we too should be praying. That Father would open unto us a door of utterance. But then secondly, to speak the mystery of Messiah, for which I am also in bond. So at this particular time, Paul is actually arrested. He's either in prison or he's under house arrest. It's one or the other. And then he says that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now, what I do up here every Sabbath and Thursday is I'm trying to communicate what has been revealed in a way that you get it. That the people who hear it, I don't want to talk over your head. I don't want to use language you don't understand. This is why Paul says that when there's tongues in the assembly, unless there's interpretation of tongues, keep quiet. Because if I don't understand what you say, how can I be edified by what you're saying? I'm not being edified. I might be bothered. Now I'm waiting on an interpretation so that I can get edification from what you just spoke. My job, my responsibility, and your job and your responsibility is going to be to where you want to communicate what it is you need to communicate, and then for it to be heard properly in the sense that it's going to bring forth the kind of fruit. When you say something to somebody, it's going to bring some kind of fruit. It's either going to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit or it's going to bring forth a work of the flesh. A work of the flesh is when somebody says something to you and you get mad. And then you respond out of that anger. That's a work of the flesh. Sometimes the fruit of the Spirit is just simply being quiet, because one of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Self-control. If something somebody else is saying or doing is causing you to behave ungodly, then you lack self-control and you're being controlled by something else other than His Spirit. And this is something we have to work on. So he's saying that this utterance, when I get this utterance, that I may be able to speak it in a way that you understand what I'm saying, you get what I'm saying, and then you start walking out what I'm saying. That's why Yeshua called his disciples. He didn't call 12 men. I mean, I've heard some stuff out there. I've heard some stuff. Well, you know, the proper number of disciples is 12, so he had to have 12. Well, one of them was a devil. And when you hear some of the things that people say, it's like, no, he didn't call 12 disciples because he had to have 12. He called some individuals because he had a mission to accomplish. Understanding that the mission he had to accomplish, he was simply the author of, the initiator. Because he started talking to these brothers early, said, listen, I won't be with you long. You hear what I'm saying? It's like, my time here is short, and when I'm gone, this is when your time starts. So on that cross, when he said it's finished, it's like, I've done my part. From here on in, it's up to y'all. And when you do your part, then those that you now are speaking utterances and they get it, is going to turn around and do what? Speak the mysteries, the utterances. People are going to understand it. They're going to get it. And then the people that they speak to. And so this cycle continues. Just as one man brought sin in the world, one man brought redemption. Now, I'm going to say something at the end of this teaching that I'll prepare you for right now. You too are a redeemer. You are a redeemer. I'll even give you the other piece. We weren't saved just to be saved. Being saved, now we are responsible for saving others. And guess what that makes you? A savior. I'll give you one more, and I've given you this before, but the fact is that we too are messiahs. Now, some of us ain't messiahing. I ain't saving. Are you hearing me? We have a responsibility. This is not just about church, going to church, having church, being the church. This is not just about some salvation issue. You know, when people start talking about, is it a salvation issue, they cheapen salvation. See, it's not just about you being saved. You're saved because there's work to be done, and now you have been saved by the Savior to be a Savior. Paul reemphasizes the mystery of Messiah he wrote about early in this letter. In Colossians chapter 1, in the first chapter, verse 25, he says, whereof I made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. That word dispensation actually deals with the issue of stewardship, that I've been given a responsibility over the lives of people. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to who? His saints. So there's some things that has made manifest, which is all what the gospel is about, and specifically the gospel of the kingdom. Notice, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Messiah in you. Messiah in you. Now imagine that. Just imagine that. You know, that wherever you go, Messiah is in you. Wherever you go, Messiah is in you. Now, who you representing? Are you representing the Messiah in you, or are you representing you? Because you're going to represent one or the other. And if you're not aware of the fact that you are his representative, then guess who you represent? Yourself. Messiah in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Messiah Yeshua. He goes further. Now, the mystery is not merely that Messiah came, but that he dwells in all believers. Those of us who are believers, guess what? Messiah dwells in you. Both Israel and those who join with biblical Israel share equally in Messiah. And I say biblically Israel because all Israel ain't biblical. There are people who call themselves Israelites that is not Israel. The Spirit-filled life is the way to future glory. So what is he revealing here? Is that, listen, there's a responsibility that you and I have. When we get his Spirit in us, we no longer, a major part of the Holy Spirit's work is to help you kill yourself spiritually. It ain't about some spirituality. You know, you got a lot of spiritual people out there that's misrepresenting. Paul wrote in chapter 2, that their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and Messiah. So Father hid. Now he gave Mr. and Mrs. Adam some information when he said, listen, when he was judging the devil, the serpent, he made it clear that there's gonna be a conflict between the seeds, that the seed of the serpent is gonna bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, but the seed of the woman is gonna crush the head of the seed of the devil. And so what do you see? What he's saying prophetically is that there will be people that'll serve the devil. He chose one of them to be his disciples. Now, let me say this to you, because this is also inclusive in that, is that without Judas, Yeshua would have had a hard time fulfilling his purpose. Evil in the world should highlight good. And that's where you and I come in, to be light. Are you with me? He says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now I want you to see this. Hear this, please. That Messiah in you not only brings you power and authority, but in him, which is given to him by Father, is all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. How does this manifest? When you receive the Spirit of God, guess what? You have the Spirit of wisdom. When you receive the Spirit of God, you got words of knowledge. You got the Spirit of knowledge. Everything that Father has is now in you by his Spirit. And the way you know whether you're operating in him, his Spirit, or you, your Spirit, is whether or not wisdom is coming forth out of you. Good behavior, Messiah-like behavior is coming out of you. Messiah-like word and attitude is coming from you, or something else is coming. This is why I say you got to monitor yourself. You have to monitor your thinking. You have to monitor yourself. Always know where you are, because the moment you lose sight of where you are is the moment you done stepped out of who you're supposed to be. I'm not knocking on wood. This is glass. See? Some people, they look at me, do this. Oh, that, he's knocking on wood. Nah, I just do that sometimes. I make noise with my hands. I make noise with my feet. I sit at home sometimes like a little child and just pat my feet on the floor. It annoys my wife. So I have to do it outside of her space. Stop patting your feet, boy. Anyway. For in him, this is the second part of Colossians. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, for those people who confuse Yeshua with being God, what Paul is writing here is that that Yeshua is the full representation of the Almighty in the earth. Now, what is he showing us? Yeshua is showing us how to represent Father in bodily form. This is why we keep our eyes on him. The moment you take your eyes off of the author and the one who finished your faith, when he did this and said it's finished, he snatched back all the authority of the devil. That's why when he rose from the grave, he didn't rise with some power, and he didn't rise with some authority. Did he have all power and all authority before he was crucified? Nope. It was when he rose from the grave, all power and all authority had been given unto him. Why? Because he defeated the devil on that cross and made a show of it openly. And then he said, it's finished. And folks thought, okay, he's dying. No, this is beyond death. See, because you know, you're going to put me in a tomb. He didn't care. He didn't care what tomb he went in because he knew he wasn't staying there. So he didn't have a burial plan. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And notice what he says. In him you complete. Now, let me say this. Nobody can complete you other than Messiah. That's it. Because even the person you may love more than anything else from time to time will get on your nerves. I'm telling you, they will get on your last nerve. They will rub you to the core. They will bother you to make you want to go sleep on the roof. It's amazing. You know, it's like you, when you think about it, a man cave. Just don't want to be bothered. Can't take no more. Give me a few. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. See, the whole purpose of a circumcision of the heart is so that you will stop sinning. That's what it's all about. You see, Father gave Israel the law, and the violation of the law is what? Sin. Sin is a transgression of the law. But he also told them to circumcise their heart. Why? So that they will walk in the authority of the law. You need to be circumcised in the heart so you will stop sinning. If you're still sinning, you ain't circumcised in the heart. Hello? So all you Paulites, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Messiah. So that's what happens when you put on Messiah. Messiah didn't live a life of sin. He wasn't out there trying to please himself. He was trying to please the Almighty who sent him. And we, as his representative, that should be our core desire, that we please him so that when it's all said and done, he say, well done. You did it. The mystery also includes a revelation that, one, Jehovah's full redemptive presence and authority is embodied in Messiah, and two, that access to Jehovah now comes through union. So now I can come boldly into the presence of the Almighty because of Messiah in me. You get this. He in me gives me access. What did he say? No man can come to the Father except he comes through the Son. So Messiah in me gives me full access to heaven and everything in heaven, because now I can call heaven down. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This is why Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. See, Paul understood some things, and I wonder sometimes, well, I don't wonder, Paul communicated the things that he understood. Preachers just miscommunicated what Paul preached. They miscommunicated. Why? Because Paul wrote about these mysteries. Paul wrote about the Holy Spirit's power. Paul wrote about the gifts of the Spirit. Paul wrote about the things that was hidden from the world. But why is it so many believers don't see or operate as if Messiah is in them? Why is it we don't operate as if Messiah is in us? Why is it that we represent ourselves more than we represent him? Why is it so much flesh manifest out of us? Why do we get in our feelings and in our emotions and just have issues with people? Because we don't recognize Messiah in us. When we recognize Messiah in us, guess what? We'll act like he's in us. And how we respond and how we relate and how we communicate and how we act. Because, see, the Messiah in you is not the one that's getting upset at people. He's not the one that's cussing people out. He's not the one that's chasing after fleshly desires. So notice what Paul says in light of Messiah in us, this mystery being revealed. He says in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Messiah, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Notice some of the words that I highlighted. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." Now, if we've got a revelation of the righteousness of God and God in us in Messiah by his Spirit, then what? That makes us righteous. That's why we are the righteousness of God in Messiah Yeshua. The righteousness of God is revealed. But see, you got this gospel issue, which is a problem for people. Because people are talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's all that matters. No, bro, you don't get it. You don't get it. The gospel has to be mixed with faith. If you don't mix it with faith, you cannot please God, because without faith, it's impossible. Israel's problem is that they didn't mix what they heard with faith. Words go in and words come out. They go in one ear and out the other. We hear, but we don't change. And there's a change that takes place when the true gospel is deposited. You can't stay the way you were. You got to work at this. Why? Because your flesh ain't going to just lay down. Make you think your flesh is just going to lay down. It's too much of you. It's a huge part of who you are. Who you been. You hear what I'm saying? It ain't going to just lay down. It ain't going to roll over and play dead. The flesh got feelings. The flesh wants to be heard. The flesh wants to be seen. The flesh wants you to know it's in the room. Yes, it does. He says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Why? It's important because just as the righteousness of God is revealed, the wrath of God is revealed. The gospel reveals the wrath of God. This is why the word is two-edged. It's either going to cut you going or cut you coming. One of the way. But what is designed to do? cut you off. And I'm not talking about cutting you off from him. I'm talking about cutting you off from you. Because the only person who can get in God's way in your life is me. Not in your life, in my life. You in your life. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. See, this is how you know you got a circumcised heart. You got a circumcised heart when you get convicted for that nonsense. When you say something and you get convicted. When you think something and you get convicted. When you do something and you get convicted. It's no longer you pursuing your will and your desires and what you want. Because I'm going to tell you something. Hear me. You don't know what you want. You really don't. You don't know what you need. You think you do. Why? Because your eyeballs is trying to tell you what you want and tell you what you need. What you see. The only things you desire is the things you see. Your imagination has a way of trying to show things to you, but our imagination is evil too. This mystery reveals the gospel truth that Messiah now indwells believers by the Spirit. That's Messiah in you, the hope of glory. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I want so desperately to become one with this. But I recognize my own struggle of trying to become one with it, because sometimes I'm not one with it when I examine my thinking, when I examine my thoughts. And I'm so glad that I have learned to respond versus react. There's a huge difference. When I respond, I'm thinking about what I want as an outcome. So I know I can't raise my voice at you and you not respond in like manner. I know that I can't disrespect you and you not respond in like manner. You may not respond out of whatever respect you may have for me as a minister, apostle, overseer, whatever the case may be, but you're going to feel it. You're going to think it. As daddy, as husband, may not respond, but you're going to think it. And then here's how you know, because what happens sometimes is people walk away and think about what they should have said, what they should have done. And the only reason why they're thinking about what they should have said and what they should have done, because they've been bothered. You know, you've been bothered. Somebody said something or did something and it rubbed you the wrong way, and now you bothered and upset. And it's like you walk away bothered and upset because you keep it in. But the fact that you're bothered and you're upset, you have to ask yourself, why? Why did that bother me? And then you have to ask yourself, what me did it bother? Which one of us is? Those who join with biblical Israel are fully included as covenant heirs. What does that mean? We're not outsiders, not proselytes, not second-class citizens, but sons. You know, I know we use the term sons and daughters because, you know, we feel that's proper. But it's amazing how when Paul writes, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Now here's another part of that mystery that Paul deals with. And he says it flat out, but people don't really get it sometimes, I think. There's no distinction. There's no male. There's no female. There's no bond. There's no free. We're all one in him, and that makes us all the sons of God. Messiah is the full and final revelation of Jehovah's redemptive presence and plan. Not angels, not philosophies, not sacrifices of animals or rituals. Do you know that going to service can be a ritual? Prayer can be a ritual. Reading the Bible can be a ritual. Relationship and union with Messiah produces a transformed life. Paul speaks about this in the third chapter. He said in verse 1, if you then be risen, if you then be risen with Messiah, where should you be seeking those things which are above, where Messiah sits on the right hand of God? Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, are you? And your life is hid with Messiah in God. In other words, you will never fully manifest until he fully manifests in you.